Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Sherlock's Team podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, I'm joined by Becky Hull, Heather Steele, and Lou Huff. Hi, everyone.
Hello. Hi.
It's bright and early on a Monday morning, like really early, not before working hours on a Monday morning. I also can't help but notice that we look like a girl band today. This is so many coordinated outfits.
Yeah, that's so true.
for those who can't see us, okay, everyone, Lou and I are both in striped blue shirts, and then Becky's in a cream jumper, and then Heather's in a cream jumper with a blue striped shirt.
Yeah.
Beautifully coordinated. I'm trying so hard to just not wear jumpers anymore. I'm so over it. I don't know about you guys. Anyway, the sun started shining this weekend. What a weekend of weather.
I looked in the mirror on Sunday night and I was like, ooh, I think maybe I've caught the sun a little bit.
Do you think?
Well, I think my face was obviously just in such shock of suddenly seeing sunlight. It was probably just like taking in all those rays. Yeah, it was so lovely. It kind of feels like the weekend after the first time we had snow, apart from you, Charlotte, and everyone was just a bit like, oh, okay, change of scene. And
yeah, we're happy. Except I'm happy about this one. Yeah, exactly.
It was actually so warm as well. Like, if you stood in the sun, it felt like really warming on the skin. It was so satisfying, and it actually really lifted the mood. Like, I never thought I was somebody that suffered from sad disease, but I now think I am. Maybe the pandemic's not helped that.
I was going to say, I think we might be suffering from the global pandemic and the lockdown probably. But it's true, like, you've got to cling on to it all we can get right now, and God, a bit of sunshine makes it a hell of a lot better, doesn't it?
Totally.
Heather, have you started to make the most of Brighton again? It must feel particularly down by the sea, like it's opening up.
Yeah, it's been busy the last couple of weekends, actually. But what I was going to say, I was going to ask Becky, because on Saturday, all you lot, all the Londoners were like, wow, spring's here, it's gorgeous. And it was still like really crap down here in Brighton on Saturday. So yeah. I was like, oh, what? It's rubbish. But then thankfully yesterday, I think it finally travelled down south a bit more. So yeah, I got the joy of it all yesterday. But yeah, the seafront, I took a friend's dog for a walk yesterday that I look after occasionally, and we just sort of turned back about halfway down on the seafront because it was just
so
really
busy.
Really busy. Oh well, it's to be expected, isn't it, I suppose, with you know, everyone's been cooped up indoors.
I walked the dog through Regent's Park on Saturday morning, and I can't explain the amount of groups of people I saw exercising. I mean, like 10 people cycling and then stopping and having a chat, or like 12 people on a running club together. Like, I'm sure you're only supposed to exercise with one other person, so I'm not entirely sure why everybody's getting away with it.
Yeah,
particularly when the weather's nicer, it makes it
it's
so
like
much
everyone's just thought, you know what, Boris is about to announce something, let's just preempt it. Let's just do what we want.
Not great, but anyway, at least we can get outside. And they did say in the news this morning, Boris is speaking later today, that we can sit and have a coffee or a picnic.
Yes, I thought that was good.
That would be really nice. Yeah.
Anyway, what has everybody been watching, listening to? Who's got some new recommendations for us, Heather?
So I'll just say it for the fifth time. Still watching The Sopranos on the final series,
but still enjoying it.
Yeah, loving it. We're trying to take it really slowly because, well, my boyfriend's seen it before, but I haven't. But yeah, just trying to savor it because it is genuinely as good as everybody says it is. So just trying to absorb it all. But no, very, very good. Would recommend. But no, a new series that we sort of ended up binging on Now TV and Sky at the moment, and it's called 000. So it's in three languages and it's set in three parts of the world. It's a drug series, basically. It's all about a drug haul, and it focuses on the three different families who are conspiring to move, 5 tons of cocaine across the Atlantic. So you've got the Mexican sort of cartel and these brothers who, you know, run their gang and the people who sort of work for them. And then in America, you've got the sort of shippers and the people who are actually going to make sure that the drugs get over to the third family, who are a mafia family in Italy. And they're the ones who want to buy the drugs. So it's, in all different languages, depending on where people are. But it's just really, really good. I think if you like anything that's, you know, like Narcos or, you know, Breaking Bad or not even that, just a sort of family drama, sort of Succession style stuff, it's definitely worth a watch.
Ooh, that sounds right up our street.
Yeah, me too. Honestly, it's very snappy. Yeah, 8 episodes, so it doesn't drag or anything. And it definitely ends with a sort of like, okay, this might be a second series. But if there isn't, then that's cool. It's ended in a good way. So, yeah, I would definitely give that a go if you're after a new drama to watch. The other thing I watched, I don't know if anyone saw it, but it's Stan and Ollie, which is that film that came out a couple of years ago. But it's just come on iPlayer this week. So if you're after a nice watch, I'd definitely recommend that. It's about Laurel and Hardy in their sort of later years and when their sort of careers on in decline and how they're trying to, you know, revive their careers again. But it's got John C. Reilly in and Steve Coogan, and yeah, they're just really, really nice as a pairing together. And it's just a very nice story that's got sort of everything you'd expect from, you know, friendship to rivalry to, you know, sadness at things that they've lost in their lives. But no, it's just a very nice watch, I reckon, if you're after a sort of 90-minute film to watch on a Sunday night.
Is it factually correct? Do you know?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Mm. It's a reimagining because obviously a lot of it is just the conversations between the pair of them that you don't know exactly what happened. But in terms of the events that take place, that's based on, yeah, true events.
Interesting. A bit of light escapism.
Exactly.
Lou, anything to recommend?
The last 2 weeks we've been binging Line of Duty. We're up to season 5 is we're going to start this week, so that's been thrill. And last weekend, our sort of romantic date night, we were like, oh, what should we watch? And we came across Get Out. Have you guys seen this?
Very romantic.
It's romantic. It ain't.
It's far from a kind of a rom-com. We like never watch scary films, and we were like, should we just do it? And absolutely loved it. So for those that don't know, it stars Daniel Kaluuya and Allison Williams. And without giving too much away, she invites him to come and stay at her family's house in the country, and he starts to notice a lot of weird things going on. And I won't say anything else because this is like a spoiler, but we haven't watched a scary film. We've just quite a lot of watched sort of mysteries and romance and comedy and things like that, and so it was just really fun to be properly scared for a while. It's a really, really, really good film, and I really enjoyed it.
There was so much narrative around that film, and for those who don't know, it's a Jordan Peele who's the director. Like, it's his baby, and it's his commentary about race relations in America and, you know, the roles of white people in America and black people in America. And because it was kind of positioned as this like polemic almost at the time, I didn't realize quite how scary it would be. I knew it was like a dark film, but I thought it was, you know, about the politics of race. I didn't realize it would also be like fucking terrifying, which it really, I mean, it's proper gory, awful stuff.
I wouldn't say it's gory, actually maybe a little bit.
The last 20 minutes definitely gory.
But I text Polly and Charlotte and was like, have you both seen this? And immediately got responses, and Charlotte was saying there's one scene that really stayed with her, and then literally that evening I could not get that scene out of my head.
It's not a spoiler to say just that bit with the grandma's face, that's all I'll say. But there's this bit with the grandma's face, and I see her face in the middle of the night, and I watched the film maybe 2 years ago. Like, it just, it's so, I'm not great with scary films to be fair, but it really stays with you, that one.
It was like such a satisfying like rush of adrenaline in watching it that I haven't had. Obviously lockdown and things have got pretty snooze, so it was like something exciting to endure.
I've been on the hunt for like an inverted commas fun, because I for me that's the thing that's really, well, not just for me, for everybody, that's the thing that really I think is missing in lockdown. You know, there's plenty of activities that you can do which are nice and kill the time nicely, but I'm not sure that I'm having, you know, a lot of fun. I don't think anyone's having a lot of fun. And I do think that some kind of adrenaline rush, like a scary movie, it does give you that at least.
I just feel like you kind of day by day you just go through the motions, and you have the same sort of feelings of, you know, whatever it is is going on, and it's just, you think, just kind of crop up again. So it was just suddenly a kind of out of the ordinary, like, oh, this is an interesting feeling I haven't had in a while.
So I've been on this mission to find fun things to do, and I put a thing on my Insta stories the other day being like, please, you know, if anyone's got any like actually fun things to do. There were some good suggestions, one of which I haven't tried yet, but someone suggested driving through a car wash, like a, you know, like an electric car wash, and just playing your music really loudly. I mean, I just think that is the best. I know it was probably only about 5 minutes of fun, but I think that is the best.
You just
suggestion.
Go round, just keep going.
Just keep going.
On loop.
So that's quite jokes.
I think as well, corner. Just giving yourself an excuse to get properly dressed is just such a mood lifter. Like, it's so easy to just throw on the same trackies, hoodie, trainers, puffer jacket, hat. It just feels so boring. So I think as soon as you make that effort, and, you know, clothes can make you feel so much better. And I think giving yourself an excuse, even if it's just for yourself on the weekend, to break it up and get properly dressed. But yeah, I think having an excuse to go out, or, you know, if we are allowed to then see one friend outside, then that friend is going to get such a joy of seeing how dressed up everyone's going to get.
Yeah, just you wait, like, yeah, have coffee with you and my ball gown.
I don't know if something's in the air, though. But, like, we went for a walk this weekend and people were really dressed up the downs. Maybe it is just everybody's got to that stage now. They just want to...
We were out, I think it was earlier in the week, and I was standing in the queue for Gales, and this woman walked past and she was wearing a bright pink coat, a camel knit, a green skirt, knee-high boots, and like a bright bag, and like full face of makeup. And she looked so fabulous. And this lady ran past her and stopped and just said, "I just want to say how lovely you look. It's aww, such a nice change to seeing everybody in a tracksuit, seeing someone actually make an effort." Yeah. And it just like really lifted my spirits. Like, I think there's nothing nicer than like giving a compliment unnecessarily like that. But it was just like, yeah, like, why don't we make an effort more? Yeah. It's great.
So true. Yeah. So true. Yeah. I'm steadfastly still putting on my face makeup every day, like, despite the fact that every morning I'm like, really, this again. But it then means on the weekend, the weekend's my break. Like, I guess like it would be a normal life. So therefore, I'm kind of letting the side down. I sit here locked up in this room all day with full face makeup. And when I'm unleashed into the world, I look terrible.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I don't know about you guys, but I know I'm turning to Instagram more than ever for fresh inspo. God, I mean, people in all these other countries that seem to have it quite a lot better than we do at the moment,
I know.
In terms of freedoms. I'm finding whether it's food, interiors, fashion, whatever, I'm just loving seeing other people. And, you know, again, perhaps it's just filling that void. Has anyone got anyone cool, new to recommend on Insta?
I've been looking for a bit of tablescape inspo at the moment, because we've got a few birthdays coming up in this household, and I just thought, nothing to do, so I'm going to absolutely go for it and just like really snazz up their birthdays this year. And she's called Mrs. Alice Shop on Instagram, and it's just constant picture after picture of beautiful, like, sort of tablescapes and gorgeous cutlery and gorgeous plates and just all that kind of fine detail that gives you inspiration for when you, well, host maybe two people in the house. But it's just it's just nice to kind of, if say you are wanting to do a little party indoors or, you know, something really fun, she's got such a colourful feed and it's just giving me nice escapism. And I think also because I am looking for a house at the moment, it's that vibe of kind of wanting to get, I don't know, you just want fresh inspiration. You just want to get away from your four walls.
Same old boring, yeah, table stuff. So she is Alice Naylor Leyland, who is a Vogue contributor and, yeah, a bit of a fashion icon. But yeah, she launched her own range of tableware last year, year before, maybe?
Yeah, I think it was last year, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, I agree. I mean, it's completely gorgeous, everything she does, which is completely in keeping with her. Her amazing style, isn't it?
It's just so fun and vibrant. Yeah. Like, it just is pure escapism.
Agrees. Heather, anyone new?
The thing is, like, everyone's a bit new to me because I haven't had Instagram for so long. So yeah, I'm probably just going to say all the same people that everyone else likes. I've recently really been enjoying following A Considered Space, which is this girl who lives in the Barbican. She rents one of the smaller flats there. She's called Eleanor. And yeah, she just posts lots of really cool homeware stuff all the time and does like a Sunday edit of things that she's found during the week. And yeah, I really like her account, so yeah, I'm always excited when she posts stuff.
She did a collab with Monroe and Kerr, those lampshades, those scallopy lampshades, which were just incredible.
Yeah, they were great. And she's just done another drop of those, actually. I think my dream would be to live in the Barbican, so I just kind of, like, live through her and what her life is like living there, to be honest. But no, I really rate her. She always sort of talks about affordable homewares as well, which I think is nice, because I think some of the other people I follow, it's gorgeous stuff, but very much aspirational, never going to happen for me kind of vibes, whereas she is, yeah, a nice mix of sort of vintage and new, affordable, and then slightly less affordable. So, yeah.
Bit of everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I really rate her.
Lou, what about you?
No one probably like massively new, but people I'm loving at the moment. There is someone called NL Marilyn, who is a sort of style influencer. She's heavily pregnant right now, but she is a constant source of style inspiration, kind of a nice mix of interiors, fashion, beauty, just kind of beautiful aesthetic pieces as well, which I love. Jay Things is another one to check out if you're looking for sort of non-fashion inspo. Charlotte, what about you? Anyone good?
Becky, I'm a bit like you. I've kind of fallen down more of a tablescape hole. I think it started when I was planning Ben's birthday and ended up just really falling down a hole of caterers, and I'm feeling very over winter as well. So everybody I'm following is really colourful, really creative. There's a girl called Jessica Nguyen. It's spelled N-G-U-Y-E-N. And she's in Australia and she's a chef, but she also does the most incredible tablescapes. It's all super bright, super colourful, super outdoorsy. It's just so joyful and just makes me dream about, you know, summer dinners with friends and that kind of thing. Then there's another one called Pasta_Mama_ and they are a supper club, but a pasta supper club in Australia. And I think I must have found one through the other. There's definitely some connection to that girl Jessica that I was just recommending, but I sent it to my best friend this weekend. I was like, we have to do this in the summer, like, please God we're allowed friends over for dinner and, you know, can be outside eating. It's just the most, again, so colourful, great recipe ideas, really lovely sharing plates, and such good tablescaping inspo, from, you know, throwing tomatoes, from making a runner out of different shaped tomatoes to, you know, mismatched colourful jars of things. But, you know, there's no kind of order, or it's very different to Mrs. Alice, Becky, but I think in the most summery, colourful, joyful way.
I was about to say, I'm looking at it now. It's beautiful. Like all the flowers and the food.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes you want summer so badly.
So badly. I mean, I could keep going, but I've also fallen really hard for, her name is Bee's Bakery. B-E-E-S Bakery.
I follow her.
Cakes. She makes the most stunning cakes, like so summery, so beautiful. It just, all of these things just make you want to have to throw a birthday party, don't they? But they're all covered with natural petals and flowers and everything, and just, again, so beautiful. And then finally, in completely the same vein, there's a caterer called By Matilda. Oh my God, I'm obsessed with her Instagram. Again, I'm just like earmarking her for when we can finally have some kind of party. And she creates these incredibly vibrant, verdant looking tablescapes and food. You know, it all looks like it's kind of grown out of some fairy forest somewhere. It's just so beautiful. It's got more of a kind of English country garden feel than the Aussie recommendations. But if you're looking for ideas for, you know, whether it's a summer lunch or whether it's a cake that you're going to bake or whatever, it's just so abundant and exactly what we need, I think, going into spring. So it's my recommendations.
Gorgeous.
Lovely.
Let's move on. Similar vein, sort of, and talk about pizza. We wrote a feature on how to make the best pizza at home. But I don't think we've ever actually talked about pizza on the podcast, other than as a kind of hangover saviour. And I did about you guys, but I feel like maybe it's this rise of the home kit. But I'm having pizza more than ever before at the moment. Heather, you're nodding.
Yeah, I love pizza. But I'm the same. Like, we keep getting takeaway pizzas every Saturday, but I think it's just because I'm just so bored of cooking basically three meals a day constantly. So not breakfast is cooking, but I've started like making this smoothie that seems, I count it as cooking because you've got to measure all these ingredients out and then wash the bloody blender afterwards. Yeah. So it seems like
it's a
lot
clearing up.
Yeah. But now I'm like, no, Saturday night's the one night, the one meal I am not going to cook. So yeah, it just ends up being pizza because I can cook curries at home and Asian and all those other kind of treat foods, I suppose. suppose. Whereas pizza, I'm like, I know Becky knows this, but in Brighton, there are just loads of really, really, really good pizza delivery places. So there's enough of them to like mix up to keep things interesting, I'd say. So
where do you go? What are the recommendations?
So there's one called the Original Toby's, which does sort of US style pizzas, which are quite cheesy, but they put like Parmesan on the outside crust before it goes in the oven. So it's like really crispy and cheesy.
We actually should define, I think, first of all, what, because everybody does have a different definition of what makes a good pizza. Like, personally, I'm after like a really doughy crust. Same. I'm not into a thin crust. I'm after like a burnt, bubbling sourdough situation.
Neapolitan style, basically. Yeah. Well, there are good ones of those here as well, because there's a sort of Napoli family run one called Nanny Nella's. But basically, depending on what pizza you fancy, there's a good one for you. There's like one called Wildflower, which does like slightly unusual toppings. There's like, a classic Italian one with those bases you were describing. If you want that sort of pizza, there's Original Toby's. If you want like a US pizza that, you know, Italians would be like, this is not pizza, mate. But that kind of thing. So whatever you fancy, there's something for you around here. And obviously London's got tons of brilliant ones as well. But very I love brilliant. Pizza, basically. I'd eat it every day if I could.
Me too. And I often try and convince myself it's not that bad, because I'm often like, if you just get a plain marg, it's just a bit of cheese, tomato. But then I think we all know that there's a lot of grease and oil as well.
I'm the opposite, Becky. Like, that feels naughty to me. But then if you load it with veg, then I'm like, well, veg on some bread. Like, how bad?
One of your five a day?
Lou, you're obviously not a cheese eater, but I do feel like you're into a pizza regardless.
Yeah, I literally love a pizza. I remember, I think when you said the top around, so I was thinking about all the pizza chat we could have. And the best pizza I ever remember having back in the day was when I used to eat meat, and I went to Australia. We were like traveling around in a camper van, and so like restaurant eating was like minimal, and we stopped off at Noosa and we had this pizza, and it had pesto, chicken and pine nuts, which is so not an actual pizza, like a proper Italian pizza. But it was unreal. That still like is in my head as the best pizza I've ever had. But nowadays, I love a pizza. But like you, Charles, I like a proper doughy. Like, I don't understand when you go to a restaurant and you see people eat the inside of their pizza and leave their crust.
No, what is like that about?
Oh, I have to say, I do quite often leave the doughy crust, because I find that then gets plain. But that's the style of pizza I like, rather than like thin crust.
No, that's almost like the best part of it for me.
Yeah.
I like keep it simple, like a tomato base, basil, chili oil, rocket, and like big doughy crust.
Chili oil, definitely for those crusts. That's exactly why
it's often there. Find those ones where you can sort of make it yourself. Often I think you get a bit sort of trigger happy with the ingredients, and then there's nothing worse than if you like make it too heavy.
Base
goes so soggy and it just doesn't hold it. So I think minimal toppings actually is best.
In this piece, actually, because I interviewed some pizza chefs about it, and one of the key takeaways was like, don't get greedy, basically try and stick to two or three toppings max, for that very reason. I thought the base will go soggy, you can't pick it up without it sort of drooping everywhere.
But again, I don't really mind, like, I know it's not ideal, but like that's does its own thing as well.
That's
when it's a bit soggy, a bit cold, the cheese is a bit congealed, that I love it.
We at the beginning, I think lockdown one, we did a pizza pilgrims delivery, which was so hard to get hold of at the time, and we're a bit like, oh, I'm not sure like how baking that yourself is really going to work, like not in a pizza oven.
I was going to say it was a frying pan one as well, wasn't
it? Yeah, it's a frying pan one. So you get these amazing kits that they send in the post, and they're sort of wrapped in like lamb's wool. And you roll out the dough yourself. The sauce is already made. Then you've got kind of all the components. So it's the main thing is basically just kneading out the dough and kind of spinning it around your hand, pretending you're a pro.
I bet Lewis loved that.
Yeah. And then doing your toppings. And then you fry it in the frying pan, the base in the frying pan. And then you just put the top for a few, I think it's like 30 seconds or something, under the grill. And it was absolutely amazing. Ooh. So, and I think they are nationwide now.
They are,
So you should definitely try it if you're a pizza fan and you don't want to get a regular takeaway. There's something, it kind of feels like a treat, I guess, that you're not, you know, there's not loads of pans to get out and cooking and chopping. It's very easy. But yeah, delicious.
I did the Passo one last week.
I was going to say Passo to Go's ones are brilliant as well.
So good. That was like, again, it's probably not for purists who like a really thin crust. It was so doughy, but I guess you can choose how doughy you want it to be, because you're the one that defines the size of the crust. But it was so, it was like exactly what I wanted. You can put it in the frying pan or the oven. I went with the oven. I was just a bit nervous about the frying pan.
I did the oven one with that. Yeah.
Which pizza did you go for, Heather? Do you remember?
It was like the spicy salami one. So it had like jalapenos, sort of pickled red onion, and salami, I think. Like quite simple, but it was so good.
I went for the anchovies and capers, which in hindsight was probably quite salty, but so good. Literally so delicious. Highly recommend. The other thing I've said about pizzas is that it doesn't matter like how high or how low you go, it's still delicious. Like I would never knock a Pizza Express. I absolutely love Pizza Express.
It doesn't matter really where it's from, as long as it's doughy and tomatoey.
And then I had a truffle pizza yesterday, and it was also absolutely sensational.
I was about to say truffle oil on a pizza.
Oh my god.
And also I had one with fennel salami the other week, and it was just like just a bit of burrata, fennel salami and a bit of basil, and I was literally like in my happy place.
Where was that from, Becky? Just in case it's a local place I need to
Know. Actually, Heather, maybe local for you, but it's West Sussex. It's in Hurstbury Point in a place called Village Pizza Kitchen.
Okay.
So if you're in the area for a walk, check it out. It's a little family-owned business. They've only just set it up and it literally exceeded all expectations. Sounds good. 10 out of 10.
Unreal. We regularly pilgrimage to Home Slice.
Oh my god, yes.
I mean, that's absurdly large, but a Home Slice pizza, the one with, it's like pine nuts and mushrooms and it might be honey even. It's like a bit sweet. I spend a lot of time thinking about it. Sunflower seeds.
Interesting combination.
They always do weird pizzas in a good way, though. The one I like, again, it's got jalapenos on and also like rye bread that they've crisped up and put on as a crumb, which is really good as well.
Thoughts on egg on a pizza? That's not a bit of me.
Agreed. I understand with the Florentina thing, but it's not my vibe.
I think I used to be into that, but I think I would now.
What's your Pizza Express order?
And probably a margarita. So boring.
Classic marg.
Classic marg.
Garlic butter. Sorry, that Home Slice pizza is mushroom, ricotta, pumpkin seeds, chili flakes, chives, and soy truffle glaze. Ooh. It is.
Oh, I can see that working.
Now you've
it's
put
so
the old
sweet and nutty. I might have to go for dinner.
The thing I miss about Home Slice, going back to the size, Charlotte, is, and going back to what we were saying at the start of this whole conversation, is that you just go with like 8 mates and order like 2 huge pizzas and just get like a round of Negroni to start with and then go into beer and just be grabbing slices. Like, fuck, I can't wait to do something like that again.
I know.
It hurts a bit, doesn't it?
It literally does.
Ben and I eat one of those between two of us. So.
Oh, yeah.
you and your 8 mates.
I was being very polite there. I definitely had one to myself and taken half of it home on the train back for my boyfriend.
Dream. Oh, my God. I love Home Slice so much. There's a place on Hampstead High Street called Lantica.
Oh, I've heard really good things about that.
There are no words for it. It's like, imagine Franco Manca, but like if it was actually really, really good and really Italian. I would move heaven and earth for an Antica pizza. Well, if you are looking to make your own pizzas at home, then do have a look at the feature on the site. Let's end with a bit of fashion. We wrote a feature on how to shop for a designer handbag. Not everybody is in the market for a new designer bag these days, or you know, generally at all, but I did think there were some really interesting takeaways in here in terms of investing and investing in fashion specifically. So Lou, what did you think was the best advice in this feature?
There are so many good points in this feature. The best one, I think, is don't be seduced by the price. A lot of these designer bags come with like there's a smaller version or there's a fabric version or there's a more trend version. And I think you can think, oh, wow, I'm getting that for this price. Then, you know, what a saving. But actually, a designer handbag really should last you a lifetime. It really is a proper, proper investment piece. And I think there is no point trying to save £300 on something if actually by saving that, it's not going to go with everything that you own, or it's going to be out of date in a year, or it's going to be too small to kind of keep all your belongings. So I think that is actually a really important point. I think really think about what you want, whether it's the colour, the size, the practicality, what it's been used for, what it's going to go with in your wardrobe. A handbag really should be able to go with every single thing that you wear. So don't get caught out by a funky colour or anything too small just to save.
All I want is a funky coloured small design bag at the moment. It's all I essentially all I can think about.
But I think if it's your first design handbag, or if you don't have many, then you really need to think about that kind of being like your starting point. Obviously, if you have then, you know, options, then why not have fun with it? But I think if you are thinking about like your first designer handbag, then I think that's the most important thing, because that really will be your forever bag.
I agree. And actually the biggest, I think, mistake that I would have made when I was younger, which I now wouldn't do, is that actually I don't think a black bag is the right. I think people automatically think that black is, it should be, if you're going to buy an investment handbag, it should be black. But actually it's, I personally never use black handbags in the summer. From about April onwards, it feels way too heavy. I would always go navy over black or grey. And I think so many people think, you know, just think, right, first designer handbag should be black. But that's, yeah, I would definitely advise against that, actually, for year-round use. Heather, what is the dream designer handbag? I feel like you're going to have something fabulous up your sleeve.
I find this really difficult, because, you know, when someone asks you something like that, I was trying to think earlier when I saw the topics, and I just couldn't really think of anything, which is really shit, isn't it? The thing is, I probably wouldn't go down, like, the more sort of classic route that people have. Like, they're all, like, I'm not going to name any names, but, like, lots of beautiful bags out there that, I mean, I wouldn't say no to any of them, but I definitely don't have my heart set on like a classic handbag. But I was recently very tempted by the Shrimp sale. They had lots of their bags for 50% off, and then I think in the end 60% off. But Lou, what you were just saying, I found really interesting, because I didn't get one in the end, but I was really sort of seduced by buying one that I think it was £150 in the end. And I was really like, just because I really want a Shrimp handbag, I was like, yes, it's the cheapest one there and it's really nice, so I'm gonna get it. Yeah. But then actually I was thinking about it, and it was like, it was really small, and I probably could have worn it for a couple of weddings or something like that. But I was like, if I'm gonna get one, I might as well just get like the biggest, best one I can at the right time, rather than just sort of getting one because it's in the sale, just because I want one sort of
the
thing.
Worst thing I think to do is when you're shopping the sale is to go sort by price, because literally all you're doing is then is looking for a bargain rather than
you're so
do
right.
I actually like this, you kind of have to like hide the price and be like, okay, do I love this, and then see what the price is before you're going to be seduced by that.
That's so true. But also I've got my Vivian Westwood leather handbag that I got when I was 21 that I saved up for a very long time. And at the time I like used to get the piss taken out of me by bouncers and all sorts, because it's massive, and everyone used to be like, love, why have you brought your suitcase with you on nights out? Because that's when
it's a big bag.
It's a big bag, but I love that, and I try not to use it too much, because it was definitely used and abused a lot in my early 20s, you know, like chucking on the floor in clubs and stuff like that. So I'm trying to take more care of it now, but for me I feel like that it wasn't even that expensive in hindsight. I think it was £630, but when you're 21, like,
well, back in the day, that's
a hell of a lot of money.
Now they are obscene amounts, these designer handbags.
When I look now, I'm like, oh my god, that seems like an absolute bargain.
For a birthday when I was younger, I got a Louis Vuitton Speedy, which is like the kind of bowling style bag with the top handles, and I don't know why I so clearly remember this, I guess because I probably begged for it for ages, but it was £320, and I've got like the big one. It's not the little thing. It's now over 800, and I know I'm quite old now. You know, it's been a while, but still, I can't believe that how much designer bags have gone up by. That's insane. Mad.
It does show, though, that bags do really hold their value. So you kind of can look at them, I think, as a bit of an investment. You know, look to Vestiaire. If you don't want to buy new, then, you know, there's great options on Vestiaire. But I think they are a sort of a worthwhile lifelong investment as well.
I was thinking about that, Lou, because when you said before, you know, you should be buying a designer handbag with it in mind that you'll have it forever. And I'm actually not sure I agree. I think the beauty of the resale market is that you can buy something and a few years later, you know, you can exchange it for something else, and you'll make a loss. You probably will. But at least, you know, it's almost like a rental fee. That's how I see it. I try not to be too sentimental about anything that I buy, and actually think of it as I'll invest this money now. That will come back round. You know, I sold my Ferragucci loafers and then put that money in something else. And obviously you make a loss. But I think that the commitment is scary. The idea of you must buy this and you must love it until you die. You know? I quite like the idea that you can kind of just keep, you know, reinventing and putting that money towards something else. Becky, what about you? Dream designer bag?
Do you know what? I have never been someone, maybe I'm really basic, but bags just do not interest me. I know that sounds really boring, but if I was going to spend money or invest in something, I would much rather a really nice dress or a pair of shoes. I don't know what it is. I look at bags and I just end up getting one on the high street. Having said that, I did, when I left Red Magazine, they gave me a Sandro Paris cream bag. It's actually already broken, caveat. So I need to get it fixed, the buckle. But, I mean, it's quite a timeless classic. It's cream, it's really nice for summer. But it's just funny to me. I just would never sort of outwardly go and look for it. Do you know what I mean? Maybe that's just a me thing, but I would much rather get a really nice pair of shoes or like a dress that I know I will wear time and time again, or for sort of different weddings where the same people haven't seen me. Yeah, I don't know. Just me. Maybe.
I miss using a handbag and wearing a handbag so much. Like, a new handbag is kind of like top of my wish list right now, weirdly. Really? And it makes no sense. But yeah, I just
got your eye on one,
Celine Box. It's kind of always been top of my wish list, but it's ridiculously expensive.
So expensive.
It's so chic. And I saw a very well dressed, I think she must have been like in her 60s, a lady carrying this bag, and it looked so chic on her. And equally, I think it's a really ageless bag. I think you can wear it at any age or stage. I think it immediately just makes your look so considered and cool. And I just think it's the best bag ever. Charlotte, what about you? What is your dream? You say you kind of want something colourful. I know you've been looking for a small, colourful Chanel. Is that the dream bag?
Yeah, it is. And as you say, I mean, I'm lucky enough to have some of the basics covered. But as I say, I don't feel that sentimental about them. You know, if there was a trade to be made, I would quite happily do that. Because I also think we were interested in changes, doesn't it? And the way you dress. And, you know, I've got a bag that I was lucky enough to get for my 21st that actually I never wear ever because it's a total classic, but it's just not really my style. I won't get rid of it because I know it's a classic. But yeah, at the moment where I'm at is, I actually think, again, kind of going back to what you were saying, Lou, about something going with everything, I feel like a bright colour would go with everything in my wardrobe now better. Yeah. Than a classic, actually. So,
I don't think saying it will go with everything in your wardrobe, that doesn't mean it needs to be a plain colour.
Yeah, totally true.
I think like it's more that it depends on your style. So like for me, having a bright colour bag, that doesn't go with everything for me because it doesn't fit like my style and my outfits. But for you, it totally does. So I think there's not a sort of like, these are the rules that work for every single person. It's totally unique to that individual.
Yes, you're so right. You at no point did you say, so therefore it must be cream or black or something. No, you are totally right. So fingers crossed, something to look forward to. Exactly. All right. Well, if you are looking to invest in a designer bag or you simply want to read our tips, then have a look at that feature on the site. I think we'll leave it there for this week. But we just have to say before we end that this is Maria's last podcast.
Aww.
Maria, who has so diligently edited our podcast for 3 years. She is the woman that makes us sound good. Maria, thank you so much for putting up with all of our voices and our coughs and our hiccups.
And also 3 years. Hearing us nattering away and talk shit and have to sort of try to make sense of it as well.
Yeah. So thank you, Maria. You'll be very, very missed.
Very missed.
If you have any feedback at all, please do email podcast@sherlux.com. You know we love hearing from you. Don't forget also to rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. Bye-bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.